1933. Depression grips America by the throat. Two young inventors herald forth from the back of the comic pages a voice-changing gum for children to practice ventriloquism. The problem? That gum won't chew.
Gee whiz!
Say,
my voice sounds the same.
A New York State court hears the case of the so-called Bubble Boys.
Sven Ingeborg, Henry Mossmouth, this court finds you guilty of deceptive advertising and fraud. You are hereby sentenced to 2 years hard labor and $5,000 restitution. And may I say, I purchased your gum in grand hopes that my voice would change, for I am cursed with this voice. So I hope these 2 years break your backs, and you know what pain you've caused the nation.
Jumping bail, these men take it on the lam west across the nation in the hopes of clearing their names and saving their necks.
I haven't felt so terrible since that orphanage burned down and I lost a lot of my tiny friends.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sven Ingeborg.
I'm Henry Mossmouth.
Oh. And your manager tells us that you are in need of dates.
Oh, well, why should we be walking down the red carpet with a couple of rapscallions?
Well, we heard that you were dumped by your longtime twin co-stars and twin lovers.
Those dinglings.
Those awful dinglings, leaving us standing here.
Ladies, may I say that both myself and my partner Henry have watched your films and admired you for years. And, you know, I've never heard of these Dingling brothers, but they must be, you know, two of the biggest idiots in the entire country to break the hearts of two lovely talented
two ladies. Of the biggest idiots? Try two of the biggest stars.
You can't believe you've never heard of Bradley and Patrick Dingling.
Well, we have seen movies with them in it, but I have to say both Henry and I always pass out whenever they come on the screen.
Yeah, I've been kicked out of the theater for booing them.
Oh, have you really? Why, I must say, I admire that. I've never been so bold as to boo in a film, though there have been times I've wanted to.
Oh, I do it all the time. One time this mean cloud was blowing real hard on Mickey. I didn't even get to see the feature because I was booing so hard at that guy.
We got kicked out of that particular
theater. The theater manager spanked me.
I wanted to boo at that very moment. Why, I didn't come to see a cloud. I came to see Mickey. I'm sorry, did you throw your name? I looked in my mitt and I didn't catch anything.
Oh, I said it a couple times, but I can understand how you wouldn't remember since it's so ugly. I'm Henry Mossmouth.
Why, I'll just call you Henry then. I hate Moss, and I can't look a man in the mouth. Why, I am face bare. I'm embarrassed whenever anyone knows my name.
Would you sign this piece of garbage I've been carrying?
Henry, have her sign your tie or something. Why do you have that banana peel in your pocket?
I was saving it in case it grew another banana inside.
And you're Joanna von Kremenschlemmer, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. What was your name again?
I'm Sven Ingeborg, Norwegian born and bred.
Oh, my God. Well, I know something a little bit of the Far East myself.
It would be our honor if we could accompany you and watch the movie with you.
And
well,
may I?
You look dashing in those jackets, I will say.
Oh, yeah. I stole this from a guy with his hand stuck in concrete.
You stole it?
He liberated it. The man was sweating because it's so hot out.
Oh.
Henry very kindly offered to take his jacket out and borrowed it for just a little bit.
I liberated this orchid in my boutonniere from a kid.
Wow.
That is the most charming, terrible thing I've ever heard. Are you boys in some kind of trouble walking around stealing flowers and garments?
I wouldn't say that we're in trouble. My partner and I are traveling the country. We're entrepreneurs and inventors.
Why, you're gypsies. Oh, Joanna, they're real gypsies. Real honest-to-goodness gypsies. I've never met a real gypsy before.
That's right, we can tell your fortune.
Oh, my goodness. Why, I hope my fortune involves watching a picture that My dear friend Joanna and I were in together, sitting next to two handsome gypsies.
Well, as long as I can oversalt the popcorn, you've got a deal.
All right, boys, let's go.
That's a lot of reporters.
Miss Sparrow over here.
Mr. Tingling.
Quick question, Los Angeles Rag. I was just wondering if you could address the allegations that you were hysterical and that you were put in a mental institution for 3 months.
Oh, well, you know, I visited institutions before, but I've always gone to see the patients, never be one. I did have a fall that resulted in my 3-month-long hospitalization. I didn't lose my mind. That tiny bird on your arm is giving you a dirty look.
Joanna von Kramenslammer, I'm here from Movietone News. What do you say to accusations that von Kramenslammer is in fact a stage name?
Why, in fact, I would not say anything at all. I would say that everyone gets an opportunity to pick a new person to be when you reach the golden arches of Hollywood. Yes, I mean, I was born a farm girl in the black forests of dear old Germany, where my name was Joanna Ulrich von Düsseldorfer Schmidt verheißen. Naturally, I took my mother's name, Kramenslammer.
Miss Sparrow!
Joanna von Kramenslammer. This is Zed Virtue from the Los Angeles Times. Can you give us a little insight on what your romantic future is going to look like after 28 streaks of broken hearts for men? You have finally been dumped. So where do you go from here?
Listen, I wasn't dumped. I let go what needed to be let go. And now my heart is open. So step up, boys. First one to the plate gets a golden egg.
Ethel Gherkin here of the Los Angeles Register. Excuse me, Mr. Mossmouth?
That's me.
How does it feel to be the date of the glamorous Faye Sparrow?
Well, it's equal parts terrifying and exciting. You know, I have never met a movie star before in my life, but I am looking forward to asking her lots of questions about how movies get made. I want to know, who writes the words? Who is the one who puts all the animals on the set?
Hey, Joanna von Kramenslammer. Hey, my name is Timmy. I'm here on behalf of the Van Buren Elementary School Press, and I was just wondering if you could play ball with anybody. Who would it be, and why? And what's your favorite candy?
Good questions.
Oh, let me tell you, I've played some ball in my time. Yes, I played at the inaugural ball 2 years ago, and it was splendiferous. Yes, I wore a solid gold cape, and I had to have 6 handsome men carry me up the stairs of the White House. My favorite candy is licorice all sorts.
There's not stairs on a baseball field.
Get out of here, kid. Sven.
Some men are just taking him away.
That's right.
Oh, that poor boy. I hope he's okay.
Ladies, I'm worried we're going to miss the part of the feature where they show dogs dressed up like cops.
Sven, stand in front of this camera with me. This is for Life magazine.
I just...
Kiss me. Kiss me on the cheek. Kiss me on the lip!
Kiss her, Sven. She's getting angry.
Okay.
Boy, what a mustache. Boys, get comfy.
These seats are so plush and close, too.
Not the only thing that's plush and close. I think you have two ladies who are going to get pretty plush and close, too.
I don't know what that means.
Who?
All right. Here, I'm going to scoot over and sit next to you, Sven.
Yes, I want to get cozied up right next to Henry.
Well, that's fine, but can you guys be on the outside? Sven and I like to hold hands because I start shrieking when the narrator gets loud.
Oh, well, Joanna always has to sit on the aisle, so You and Sven are going to have to switch, and then...
And then I'm going to have to climb over the three of you. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Joanna, your skirt's riding up.
That's all right. There's nothing under there you haven't seen before.
Oh, that's not floor. What's my foot on?
Oh, you're not even... wow.
Oh, the snout of my fox fur is caught under someone's... Oh, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I seem to have lost an earring. Can you help me find...
Oh, just bend over, dear. I bet it's on the floor.
It must be.
Wow.
Oh, let's see. I can't find it on there. Oh, you silly me. It was in my ear the whole time.
I think the movie's starting.
Yeah.
Oh, look who's coming, Joanna. I mean, don't look now, but look who's coming.
Sven, hold me.
Yes, Henry, plant another kiss on me.
Why, hello.
Oh. Oh, good.
Hi, ladies, quote unquote.
Hello, Bradley.
Hello, Patrick.
How are you two ladies doing today?
I see you've found a couple of your favorite orphans to watch the film with.
Did you find them under a bridge, like trolls?
I'm sorry, I'm allergic to dinglings.
Oh, really?
It's too bad all the ladies in America aren't.
No, they seem to have quite a sweet tooth for dinglings.
Bradley and Patrick, where did you two numbskulls go off to?
We were just had a rendezvous in the ladies' bathroom with...
A couple of usherettes, I bet.
Oh, typical.
Yes, we do have quite the taste for usherettes.
Henry and Sven, meet Bradley and Patrick Dingling, the Dingling brothers.
Nice to meet you.
How do you do? I wouldn't touch that hand of yours with a 10-foot pole.
Yes, and if he had the 10-foot pole, I would be closing my eyes even looking at it.
You boys and your 10-foot pole talks. Well, I tell you what, these are gypsies. They're real gypsies, and they make me feel more excitement than you two ever have in your whole lives.
Ladies, we're all hurting feelings now. You're here with these swarthy gypsies, well-versed in the art of love-making and sorcery, no doubt.
Never forget, gypsies are prone to disease. Gentlemen, I don't want to get physical with you, but the movie is starting, and I really, really want to watch this picture, and I have to be honest with you about nothing that's going to stand in my way.
That's right, Bradley and Patrick. This burly Norwegian musk ox is going to take you down a notch.
And Dingling Brothers, I also don't want to get physical, so Patrick, please stop kicking me in the shins.
Well, we'll be on our way then.
Yes. One swift kick left. Ladies, enjoy yourselves.
And when you're falling asleep tonight with these dirty, muscular arms of these two men wrapped around you, remember, you're just thoughts in our heads.
Images on a screen which can be wiped clear with a moment's blink.
I don't care about being inside of some dingling. All I care about is being... cuddled up next to a gypsy.
Let's get out of here, Bradley. I'm barfing all over the place, practically.
Why they have to wear those suits made entirely out of white leather, I'll never know.
They were impressive. They're like talking cows.
Where do they find those all-white cows?
I think they bleach the leather.
Oh. You Norwegians, you sure know your livestock.
Do the cows have to close their eyes when they go in the bath, Sven?
They're dead, Henry.
You mean they can't get the leather without killing the cow?
All right, children, let's just watch the feature.
Hold me, Faye.
No, come on, children.
Hold me, Henry.
Henry, the cartoon is starting.
Ooh.
Faye, let's sing our song. Oh, kittens, 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 kittens. Meow, 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 meow. Kittens, 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 kittens. You can have one in your lap.
Kittens, 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 kittens. You can have one day a nap.
There, very good. You feel better?
I do.
Oh, good.
Ladies, it's all very amusing on the screen, but I'm trying to watch Goofy resolve an issue with a steam whistle at the moment.
And now Paramount presents Twin Trains to Cairo.
Say, Judy, those fellas, I saw them again, just through the window.
Why, how very strange. I never see the same faces on a twin train to Cairo.
Well, I don't think I can wait till we get to Cairo. I want to meet those fellas soon.
And talk to them through the train? Why, you're awfully fast.
Why, take a look at that, Ramley. Two beautiful young women.
Thomas, open the window and let's converse with them.
I'll use my handkerchief to jimmy the wedge.
Oh, I can't get this wedge jimmied. Could you jimmy it?
Oh, Veronica, use your parasol.
Oh, you're always the smart one, Judy. Now help me jimmy.
All right, I'll help you jimmy, Judy.
Judy, help me jimmy.
That seems to have done the trick. Popped open.
All right, Thomas. I'll hold on to your ankles, and you go out head first and lean across as fast as you can. It looks like those two women need help jimmying that wedge.
Oh, no, Mr. Conductor. We weren't jimmying any wedges over here.
No, we weren't. Why, here's my ticket. That's right, just leave us alone. Thank you. All right, Veronica. Look, that man is coming out.
Why, hello, ladies. It seems that you two young women must be headed to Cairo.
Why, we are, indeed.
We are.
Are you on a train to Cairo as well?
We're on the twin train to Cairo.
We're both twin Egyptologists. We're on our way to Cairo to study some of the artifacts therein.
Why, how very interesting. We're traveling to Cairo to recover our grandfather's fortune. Why, he was an Egyptologist as well.
Would it happen to be Mr. Longham is the famous Egyptologist who recently passed away
yes.
under questionable circumstance?
Why, this is Judy Longhammer, and I'm Veronica.
No. So that must mean you two ladies are twins as well.
Yes, we are!
We're the Longhammer twins.
Well, we'll have to be careful, for if we're superstitious, the golden ankh will put us under quite a love curse.
I think the twin trains have already done that.
Yeah, what a fortuitous meeting, because we have been hired to oversee Mr. Longhammer's dig. So we might be working together for quite some time.
You're going to be looking at our grandfather's dig?
Why, I've never had a man look at my grandfather's dig before.
He had quite a big dig.
His dig was bigger than any dig you've ever seen. Why, his dig covered half the pyramids.
It certainly went long and it went deep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's very hard. That sand out there gets filled up with blood of all the nomads who live around there, and oh, it gets hard. That dig gets hard.
Oh, yes, well, there's nothing worse than sand getting blown up in your dig.
Do you two ladies have a place to stay?
We were going to stay in Mrs. McGillicuddy's hotel for young ladies.
Yes, it's a hotel only for young ladies. You don't have to worry about any funny business that way.
Well, if you didn't mind some funny business and didn't mind being perceived as a little risque, you could come and stay with us at the dig.
Stay at the dig?
Why? At the dig, you stay in tents. Ladies don't stay in tents, Judy.
Well, you know, with everything that's going on back at home in the U.S., suffrage and all, you know, ladies can do whatever they want.
That's right, Veronica. We're independent women. We can sleep next to a big dig.
Why, I guess you're right, Judy. I'll sleep next to the dig, but you have to stay in a different tent, all right?
That's right.
Say, we're staying in car number 32. Which car are you boys staying in?
We're also in 32. Well, how about this? We'll go up and over and we'll meet you in the middle. Thomas, I found it.
Well, I don't feel quite right taking the golden ankh from the ladies, but it is quite a boon to science.
Science and history. Thomas, this could put us on the map. Authentic find? Just because their grandfather passed away without having set concrete provisions for it, and that's no thought of ours.
Yes. I don't think there's any law in man's world that would prosecute us. I'm worried about the curse of the mummy.
Well, you know what Mother always said?
Be it mummy or man, all's fair in love and research.
Exactly. So, tomorrow morning I'll take it into town and ship it back to the museum. And no one will be the wiser. And we can continue to woo these two naive ladies.
Yes. Well, yes, indeed. They've been all over this dig, and I don't want to stop them now.
Oh, Judy. Judy, it's awful.
Veronica. Oh. Veronica, what is it?
Well, I went to bring some cider to the boys in their tent, and, well, I heard them talking. They've stolen the ankh. The golden ankh.
They haven't.
And they're going to sell it.
Without our knowledge.
And that's not all. Why, they don't love us, Judy. They never did. They think we're just two naive girls who've been tricked into coming on a dig.
Oh, why, they've hoodwinked us properly. Why, this wouldn't be the first time that a big dig got in the way of what I wanted.
Oh, Judy, what are we going to do?
Let me tell you, I've never admired a man just for the skills of his dig. I'm going to show them tomorrow. We'll make a plan, I tell you. And us two, the two Longhammer sisters, will ride this dig into eternity, I tell you. We'll ride it hard, we'll ride it long.
Oh, but Judy, I'm scared.
No, hush, child. Let me sing you a song that our mother used to sing to us. Come closer. Let us just sleep and forget all that has been done to us. When the moon shines bright, when the moon shines bright, and your eyes look just like starlight. Da, da, da. When the moon is tall underneath the sycamore tree, you can know, you can count on me.
Scorpion!
Ah!
Psst, Henry.
Yeah?
I think it's time we get out of here. I don't like this movie.
I know. This is the longest movie I've ever seen.
Henry and I need to go get some licorice, some black licorice.
Okay, hurry back. You don't want to miss any of this.
I'm keeping your seat warm.
And I'll keep your seat warm with the promise of forever.
Thanks for all that you do.
Let's get out of here, Henry.
Okay, Sven. Do you want me to pay for the licorice?
We're not getting any licorice. We're leaving.
Here we are again. Twin trains from Cairo.
Look at those boys, so smug in their linen suits.
Hello, Thomas. Looks like those same ladies that we've been chasing after this entire time are on the twin train from Cairo, just across the way.
Yes, Remley. But I think they're going to be a little more pleased now than they were earlier when they were working at the dig.
Let's climb up and over and go into their cab.
Hello again, ladies.
Why? The nerve showing your faces around here after what you've done at the dig.
Well, that's what we wanted to come talk to you about. We have to come clean.
Come clean?
What do you mean?
We had to put up the golden onk to the museum so that they would sign over the dig to us, which we've in turn signed over to you two.
Which means that we can own the dig, and we'll have a dig of our very own.
Why, we were always so envious of our grandfather and his dig. Oh, that we were born without a dig made us so unhappy.
I'm sorry we had to hoodwink you.
Yes.
But the golden onk was the price for the dig.
And I think you'll be quite pleased with something else. That spooky old creepy mummy who's been hounding you
is
none other than your very own grandmother.
Grandma!
Hello, ladies.
Oh, Grandmama! Why, we thought you were dead.
I know you did. But I had always enjoyed your grandfather's dig so much that I wanted you two to have a chance at it.
Oh, that's so very kind. It's so very kind indeed. Why, Judy, I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm also happy, Veronica. Grandmama, I had no idea it was you.
Yes, and I have something inside this sacred scarab box. What? It's two rings.
Will you make us the two happiest brothers in all of the land and marry us?
Yes, of course!
Of course we will.
And this time I promise, no camels.
Oh, wow. We were stunners.
Oh, what a flick. Well, we definitely outshone those dinglings.
That's right. Say, those boys have been gone for a long time. You don't think they...
They couldn't.
They must not have.
I can't imagine that they would have.
They couldn't ever possibly...
I don't think it would have occurred to them to...
Ladies, it looks like you've been left somewhat in the lurch by those two troglodytes.
Bubble Boys, created by Steve Nelson and Andrew Tischer, produced and directed by Tim Joyce. This episode written and performed by Steve Nelson and Andrew Tischer,
with Ariel Dumas and Julia Weiss.
Please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bubbleboys and listen to more episodes at bubbleboys.podomatic.com. You can also rate us on iTunes. Love us, hate us, just let us know it.
Hey, Henry.
Hey.
I forgot to tell you. One time when I was a little girl, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw a bear in my room and I said, "Hey, bear, you get out of here." And the bear looked at me and said, "Not tonight, bitch. Tonight you die." And I said, "No, bear, I'm not going to die tonight." And he cut my face. When I woke up, nobody believed me that there'd been a bear in my room. But there had been. But there wasn't any blood on my face, so I went downstairs and I found a kitchen knife. And I slashed my cheek. I did spend 3 months in a hospital after that. But don't tell anybody. I only told you because I'm in love with you. And I know someday you're going to be the father of my children. But don't worry, I don't think that you can catch crazy.
Thanks for saying all those nice things.